So, as Scott said, I've been in St. Croix for the past 9 months, and I had the opportunity to serve down there at the YWAM base, and I arrived there on September, I think, 18th or something, and on September 20th, we had a Category 5 hurricane just decimate St. Croix, and we found about that on Sunday, and instantly, I was like, why am I here? You know, I did not come to be in a place where there's going to be hurricanes. I guess I'd forgotten that it's the Caribbean and that's part of life there. I figured, like, one was enough because, like, 2 weeks before I got there, they had a Category 5 go through that had just missed them, and it had knocked out the power for 2 weeks there. So, in total, I had power for 3 days because it got on when I got there. So I had power for 3 days. So it took about 6 months before I'd had power longer than I hadn't had power. So this is the morning after. And it's really cool, though, because the roof that you see right there, I guess in the corner, it landed on top of our well house, our pump house, where we get all our water from. And it literally landed, like, the roof part, like the ridge, landed on top, so it didn't actually crush it. Because if it would have crushed, I don't know what we would have done for water. But since it didn't, we had drinking water and had water to shower after, because we hooked it up to a generator. Also, there's the solar panels in that photo. And those weren't our solar panels originally. They came across from the movie theater. They had about, I think they probably had 300 solar panels on top of their place. And we got about 100 of them on our property. Unfortunately, most of them looked like that, so we weren't actually able to do anything with them. But they did put glass everywhere, which was quite a pain to deal with. Off is fine. This is what most of the roads look like right after. It was a lot of driving, like climbing through, and using vehicle was nearly impossible. Even though, like, right after the storm, you weren't allowed to use vehicles because there was a curfew on because they didn't want looting, but that didn't stop people from trying to drive out and see around where they could get. Most of them couldn't get very far, though. This was the main entrance for our base. And as you can see, there's that white thing is the gate. And that used to seal off the base because you needed a gated property so that people can't get in. And I don't know. There's a lot of looting down there. So, yeah. So we had to clear that before we could even get out of base. It was a lot. But thankfully, we had the cleaning crews down there. They had a lot of them. And they made an announcement over the radio that if you piled all of your trees and debris on the outside of your, like, outside of your property, they would come along and they would clean it up. So we drug tons and tons of trees, spent hours dragging trees off of our property and, like, along our entire front fence, which was like 100 meters long, and the trees were stacked like 8 feet tall. And that was probably still only a third of what we had. So we had no idea what we were going to do with the rest, but this same cleaning crew. So that's, I think, right after. Like, all of, like, those trees, most of the branches came down. It was just such a mess. But thankfully, these cleaning crews, they actually came onto our base and spent, like, 3 hours just loading all these trees into their dump trucks and taking them away. Because they didn't really care how they got the loads. They were being paid by the government. So they just needed to fill loads. So we had all these trees, so they just took them and made money off of that. But honestly, I think it probably would have taken us like 3 days, like probably like straight, like 36 hours or something to move all of this stuff off, because we didn't have any of this machinery that they did. And this was, this was like the line at the gas station, the probably like 5 days after, because everyone needed gas for generators. So all those people with jerry cans, I don't think you're legally allowed to do that, but anything goes down there. So it was, it took, our base is 5 minutes away from this gas station, and it took about an hour to get there because of the traffic and how many people wanted to get gas. And yeah, we had probably like 13 5-gallon jugs, and we had to fill those up every 5 days. So we had to go to the gas station every 5 days to fill these up, because we went through that much gas because we were only on generators. And in the photo that's cut off, I guess there, it's the line for the grocery store to get into the grocery store. And it goes, it went down that street, and then it went another 100 meters around the corner, and that was just to get in. And never seen empty shelves before in my life, but everyone just was trying to get what they could while they could get it, and the grocery stores still had it. Come on. It's not changing. Oh, there we go. This was the base. Dang it. This was what it looked like, I think, in the summer. Fortunately, like, the pool is cut off in that. But it basically looked like some kind of resort. And then right after the storm... Oh, come on. This is what it looked like a couple days after. And it reminded me of something like out of a video game, like those zombie levels, just like a ghost town and nuclear warfare kind of stuff. And so the pool that you see in there was really nice, and I had it during DTS, but I didn't get it for about 8 months while I was there because we had to order a fence, and that just never came. This is the washrooms that we used for camps, and the roof managed to land on that, and it didn't really destroy it, but they didn't really like it anyway. The base leaders there, they didn't like this bathhouse, so they decided that they were going to tear it down. And this is mostly what it looked like when we had finished. So we did it out of block, and then we're laying the roof in that photo. We had a lot of volunteers come down, and these are just two of them that were there, and a lot of teams that came to help rebuild and restore everything that had been destroyed. That was the pool, I think, 2 weeks ago. So after we finally got the fence up, because you need a fence, because it's a, I guess we have a bunch of little kids running around, so in order to have a pool, you need to have a fence. And you can't fill it. So apparently it's more of a drowning hazard, because it's about an 8-foot pool in the deep spot. So if they fall off and crack their head, it's better than if they drown in there. Which was annoying, because we couldn't put the fence up. I mean, fill it up, because we didn't have the fence, and it came in a container that took forever to get down there. It was originally supposed to be there in February, but because we couldn't get the wood, and then because they brought the wrong crane to load it, and it kept getting delayed. So it ended up getting there in the middle of May, so 3-month delay. And that was like coming from the States, which was really pathetic, because things down there always take longer than they should, but it just seemed like everything was taking longer. Because we tried to get lumber, but I guess where we got it did not work. So yeah, that was my experience with a hurricane, and I would say that it's one of those things where I was kind of excited before, because I was kind of sad when I got there that I missed the first one. I thought it'd be cool to go through like a Category 5 hurricane, but I missed that. And then when this one came, I was like, oh, this will be cool. I think I'll enjoy this. The storm itself was kind of fun. I mean, we just got to sit in the building and talk and hang out. And it was cool about till like midnight that night when the roof started coming off. Like the roof of the dining room, not the roof we were under, but like the room that was connecting them. And that started coming off and it was, okay, this is actually happening. And so we all went downstairs because we didn't know if the roof we were under was going to come off too. And around 2 o'clock, it started to flood down there because it was kind of lower. It was the basement area. So that started to flood. And by then we decided that the other roof wasn't going to come off because the storm was starting to slow down. So me and this other guy, we decided that we were going to go out there and we were going to try and unclog this drain. And the water was about 2 feet deep at that point. And so we went out there and it was mild. There were probably like 100 mile an hour winds at that point. But it was dark. You could see the trees were just completely bare. And it was probably something I'll remember forever. It was just so cool. I'm so happy I did it. But we're trying to unclog this drain with like a plunger. And I don't know what was out there or in there, but we're stepping on like the solar panel glass and like all the leaves from the trees. I think it took us a couple hours after the storm to unclog this drain. So there was like absolutely no way that we were going to ever unclog this drain. But it was worth a try. I'm glad we did it. So one of the lessons that I learned down there, or one of the things God taught me, was dealing with suffering, because that was one of the biggest things that happened most of the time I was there. So I'm going to read in Romans 5, 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. What was really cool about these verses is right after the storm, I was asking God for some kind of Bible verse to, you know, help me get through this, and these were the exact thing that I got from him. And yeah, perseverance was such a big thing, but perseverance by itself doesn't help. We need to rely on God and need to ask for his help, because if we rely on ourselves and do it by our own power, then the perseverance is from us, and God doesn't get any glory from that. So we really need to focus on relying on God when we're in suffering. Suffering, according to Google, means the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. So this basically means any kind of hardship. So like the wind's blowing too hard and it's cold, that's suffering. And or someone dying, that's also suffering. Being the age that I am, though, I have not gone through a whole lot of suffering, according to my mother. I would say that she is right. I have not had someone close to me die or been a slave. So, I mean, my life has been pretty tame compared to some people's. Like, take, for instance, the plantation. Can I get this photo back, the first one? This smokestack right here, I think it was built in, like, the 1850s by slaves. And I am not entirely sure how they would build it so high and they'd stack those blocks. Like, they must have had amazing technology back then, but I can't imagine how many people had to die for that and had to suffer in order to build that. There's also a bat tower, or it's a well that the bats have inhabited, and I think it's probably 100 feet deep, and it was also built at the same time. And I don't know how many people are down in there, because they had to dig that, and they didn't have the machines that we have today. So while I was there, I got to experience firsthand the suffering of two people that were very close to me, the base leaders, Jason and Vanessa. They've been there for 5 years, and they've been the base leaders for about two now. And during the summer, when I wasn't quite there yet, they had people close to them say some things that I don't think sat well with them and hurt deeply. And because they're the base leaders, they're so busy and they didn't have time to process it as a couple, it put strain on their marriage and they didn't really have time to talk about it. And then right after this hurricane hit, and it just amplified the situation immensely. So after a hurricane, and it was in September when it hit, so that's basically still their summer months, so it's extremely hot, so it's like 30 degrees, there's no wind, and the humidity is just insane. And you have to work in this weather. We had to work for 3 months picking up all these sticks. So obviously you're going to get irritable because you shower maybe once a day. When we turn the water on, we'd only turn it on for an hour. So you got one shower, and irritability, we all know what it does. And secondly, they have two girls, and they homeschool them. But because we had no electricity, we have no Wi-Fi, and all of their school is online, so they had to send their kids to the States in order for them to be able to do school. And I don't have kids myself, but I've been told that being away from your kids for 3 months is not easy, and when they're away, you focus on them, and you're not able to focus on your spouse, so it just adds more stress to their already tense relationship. And finally, in November, we had a couple of speakers come down just to, you know, give guidance. And Jason and Vanessa talked a lot with them. And they were able to decide that they needed counseling. So in December, they left for a month and a half. And they went and got counseling. And they spent time as a family. And it was the first time I think they'd had a real vacation in over 5 years. So it was really cool to see when they got back from that, how much of a change it made and how much more involved Jason was in his family. He actually helped homeschool the girls, which was a huge help and really benefited them. Because I know being the base leaders and in a base like that, you need everyone to be a team and to be unified and to have no, like, it's a lot easier to function when there's no disagreements among each other. So especially when the base leaders are having problems, it just puts stress on everyone else. So while it was hard to see someone like Jason suffering so much, because he was my mentor during DTS, and he taught me a lot, so it was super hard to see him go through something like this. And according to Warren Wiersbe, tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulium. In Paul's days, a tribulium was a heavy piece of timber with spikes in it. Used for threshing the grain, the tribulium was drawn over the grain and it separated the wheat from the chaff. As we go through tribulations and depend on God's grace, the trials only purify us and help us get rid of the chaff. I believe that all the trials that Jason was put through only purified him more and made him more of a man of God. Also, the fact that we went through this hurricane together and all made it out on the other side is huge. I really think Satan wanted our team to splinter and for there to be many hard feelings between us. We decided to keep the communication flowing and for the forgiveness to guide us as we walked through this. We were all pushed to points where we didn't want to be near anyone else, but because we persevered and kept going, we were able to strengthen our unity, which is so important. Like, for running camps and for the next DTS that we run, it's so important to have these experiences and to be able to share them with the people that come and for to have this as a backbone for our team. So if we are ever to rise above mere human strength and experience the power of Christ in our mortal bodies, it will be through the process of conflict that could very well be called the labor pains of the new life. Conflict is a part of life, and as Romans shows us, if we want the hope at the end of the tunnel, then we need to persevere with the help of the Holy Spirit through the suffering first. So in the face of suffering, we are to remember that we aren't called to do it on our own strength. We need to look and surrender to the Holy Spirit daily and even hourly. Secondly, we need to ask others for support and perspective. The Bible tells us many times that it's easier to get through something together than by yourself. And lastly, we are called to endure because according to Romans 5:3-5, it is this produces character and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, for it will bring about God's love being poured into our hearts. To learn the love as God loves is truly the final goal God desires in our lives. And the end result in Jason and Vanessa's was a revitalized marriage. So suffering was definitely a key lesson that I learned down there. And at this time, if anyone would like prayer or is going through a hard time, I'd ask that you just come up to the front, and could the elders come up here too and just pray with these people if they want it. Right now? What? Oh. What? Yeah. So, God, I thank you for today, and I thank you for this church, God. I pray that you just bless them, and I thank you that they all came today, and I pray that you'd be with them today, and that you would be with them in this time of suffering that they are going through, if they have any. And I pray that you would just help us not to celebrate our sufferings, but to celebrate in them, so that we can get through this and get to the other side, God. And I know that you are always with us, and that you see our problems, and you know our trials and our challenges, God. And I pray that you just help us to endure through them, and to trust in you to help us make it. Amen.